Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this segment of Live Without Limits. Today we are going to discuss writing a mission statement or a purpose statement for yourself. The reason you need to set up some type of mission is, think about it, when a company succeeds, it's because they have a mission for their company and all the employees understand what the mission is and how they plan to reach that mission. Now, here are some 7 rules that you need to create a defining statement, which is your mission statement. It needs to be written in 8th grade language. It needs to be conversational. It needs to have attraction. It needs to be a dream focus, contains what and who, has a dual focus, and it is repeatability. The reason it is you want it to be repeatability is you want other people to be able to think of you in that way and understand what your goal is for yourself. Now, here, what do you do? Who do you work with, and what do you help them accomplish? 4 tips for creating a defining statement or mission statement are to use the word work with, use the word want, use one and in your statement, and use 3 to 5 word outcomes. What I'm going to do is read you my mission statement so you get a better idea of how that is important and how it sets up what I do in my business, and you can also see how it fits into what I do on my shows. My mission statement is written this way. I work with individuals who want to reach their maximum potential and live without limits. What that means is that I grew up in a family where, because I have a disability, I was always being told, you're handicapped, you can't live on your own, you can't think for yourself, you can't hold a job, you can't live alone, you can't make decisions. Just constantly, you can't. And if you think in terms of transactional analysis, there is 4 analogies. I'm okay, you're okay. I'm okay, you're not okay. I'm not okay, you're okay. And I'm not okay, and you're not okay. And if you think about how people talk to each other, it also comes out of how they think about themselves. So what I had to decide was I going to accept that I was a failure and I could not make a success of myself, or was I going to turn things around and believe in myself and build my own self-esteem? And in doing so, then I had to learn how to reach my maximum potential. And that is why I like to help people do this. So therefore, my mission statement, it says that I work with individuals who want to reach their maximum potential, with companies who want to develop employees that are good leaders and team players, to build a better community with coaching for higher performance, help people understand how their behaviors affect their relationships. And if I use the DISC products and help people understand their behaviors and their strengths. So in essence, if you look at what I do in my business, it's also something that I do in my personal life as well. And if you want to test a defining statement on your goal, is, will I say it? Are others attracted to it? And could someone else say it if they had to? These are some things that you need to think about when you're writing your mission. And why that is important is that you need to set goals for yourself. And one way to set goals for yourself is to write a defining statement about yourself. Now, here are some other ideas. That what you need to do is your values shape your vision. Your vision significantly influences your purpose in life. And your values, your vision, and purpose drive your goal opportunities and eventually your goals. And how you set up your goals is how you see yourself and your purpose in life. Now, values help you build on the results of the goal opportunities that you've already set up for yourself. As a matter of fact, failure to complete the goal opportunities makes completion of the values activity more difficult. The goal opportunities exercise opens the values gate for most people. And once people have listed and categorized their values, then you can move on to visioning. And the purpose of this is to see yourself in the way you want to set up your life and your goals and purpose for yourself. And what I would like to do is talk about some exercises that you can do to help yourself set up these goals for yourself and how you want to set up your purpose and how you want to define yourself and your success opportunities. So let's look at it this way. What are your existing resources on how you want to set up your goals? What is your direction and focus? What are your desired outcomes? How do you work as a team? How can you improve your performance? And think about it in other ways. How can you set up a compass for yourself to figure out what your goals are and how you want to set yourself up? Now, if you think back to when you were a kid in school, what did you do to graduate from high school? What were the classes you had to take? What were the grades that you had to do? How did you set yourself up to reach the goal that you designed for yourself? This is also what you need to think about in setting up a mission statement for yourself. So let's think about it this way. Do you have a purpose? If you do, what is your behavioral style and how can you utilize that? What are your strengths and how do you plan to reach your goals? Now, when I use the DIS behaviors patterns, what that does is teaches you about the dominant, the influencing, the steadiness, and the conscientious behavior patterns. And why that's important is because how your patterns are set up help you determine what your goals in life are, because there are certain things that you're better at than others. Now, we all have these behavior patterns in us, but in certain areas we're weak and in other areas we're strong. So therefore, we need to think of it in terms of how are we going to set ourselves up to reach certain goals within ourselves. And the best way that I can show you how to do that is to go through and use some of the behaviors or the skills that I have had over the years and how I've utilized them to help me reach and help other people in their life. Now, when I took the DIS pattern, the DIS plus behavior pattern, I had a report generated which told me what my behavior patterns are, what my strengths are, and why I react in certain situations in life. Now, and what is my behavior pattern was inspirational. And that means I have a very high D and I, which are very equal, which means I'm very blunt when I talk to people, and I'm very outgoing, and I can talk to anyone. Also, my S and my C were very low. That meant that although I can utilize those behavior patterns, I'm always more comfortable being in ways where I can help people and talk to people. It makes it very easy. That's why I enjoy doing what I do in the job that I am. Now, let's talk about what I'm going to do is go through and tell you about my intensity index. And each of us has a set of strengths that makes us unique and valuable, and we like to be acknowledged for our strengths as well as feel effective in our environment. However, any strength when used excessively or inappropriately can be perceived as a weakness. Now, because my D and my high are very high, the words that they describe me are egocentric, direct, daring, domineering, and demanding. I can be enthusiastic, gregarious, persuasive, impulsive, and emotional. Now, my S is low, and the words that describe me in that behavior pattern is that I'm disconnected, fidgety, impetuous, restless, change-oriented, fault-finding, and spontaneous. And my C, I'm even lower, and the words that describe me are rebellious, defiant, obstinate, tactless, and sarcastic. Now, it's very understandable, knowing my background, why those terms came out when I took the assessment profile. I grew up in a home where it was very dysfunctional. I had a father that was very controlling and would hit you if you didn't give him the right answer. It was his way of controlling a situation, but it was also because he came from an environment where you hit all the time as a way of controlling your children. Now, because I have a disability, and if I had bought into what they were telling me, that I was helpless or worthless, then for me to overcome that, I had to become rebellious. I had to be defiant. I also had to be obstinate, or as my parents would say, stubborn. And in certain situations, I can be very tactless or even sarcastic. But I also know that when I do something that I enjoy doing, I'm also very enthusiastic about it. And I like to do those things, and I will always gravitate towards those things. And what I'd like to do is go through some things that will tell you descriptions of these words and why they mean what they mean. And in the dominant dimension, what this means is that I came out as egocentric, and that means that I have a heavy opposition on my D dimension, which generally describes by the following adjectives. I can be egocentric. I'm heavy opposition, and distracting events usually do not affect my unwavering focus on accomplishing my goals. Being self-focused can be a benefit to the team when red tape or a lack of consensus sidetracks my colleagues. And don't forget, however, that focusing too much on your attention inward can be perceived as tedious and self-absorbed. Now, as a child growing up, because of the environment that I grew up in, when I would try to reconcile the issues I had, I would go within myself. So it's very understanding that I would be egocentric and direct. Many people who appreciate this quality because they don't have to second guess what you say. And you can also be an inspiration to others who might be reticent to share their oppositions and ideas freely. However, being too blunt can be hurtful to others and counterproductive to further communications. Now, I can also be very daring and usually what this means is that I don't limit myself by doing things and the same old way. In fact, I'm not afraid to rock the boat or even to tip it if the urge hits me. this may be an inspiration to others who shy away from taking chances and trying new things. Don't forget, though, to keep your bravado in check so that you don't act in a reckless manner that could alienate your coworkers. And it's important to understand why these behaviors affect me and why they also play into how my mission statement and my purpose in life. Because what you're doing when you're setting up your mission statement is you're writing down what your purpose in life is. And how you set up your purpose in life determines what your goals in life are and how you know, and whether you see yourself helping people or helping kids. Now, also, I can be very domineering, which means being goal-oriented and decisive can benefit the bottom line for a team or organization. However, if I'm not listening to the input of others, evaluating their options when the consensus is needed, then I'm likely to encounter resentment and even dissent. Now, in terms of being demanding, often that means applying pressure to others to achieve desired results. This can be viewed as a strength when you are working with others toward a common goal or deadline, provided you don't disregard the feelings of others and become overbearing. And that's what my high ID behavior pattern is, but that's important because for me to have set my goals and become successful in an era when people with disabilities did not have a whole lot of options and did not have a lot of the mentoring that was needed to help them reach their goals, then that was something I had to go out and do for myself. I had to decide, was I going to be successful or was I going to let other people make my decisions for me and do what they wanted me to do? Because I understood what was good for me, but someone else may not understand. What they were there for was to give me guidance, which is important. That's what mentoring is all about. That's what coaching is all about. But you also need to be able to be aware of that you have to let the individual be who they are. And that's why we need to understand why writing a mission statement is a very important part of how we set our goals in life. Now I'm going to tell you about my eye dimensions and people with under which my score came, which was enthusiastic, gregarious, persuasive, impulsive, and emotional. And enthusiastic, that means that the energy and excitement that I create when forming new relationships or starting new projects is almost contagious, often generating similar behavior to others. This is definitely a strength as long as hard work and follow-through support my initial exuberance to bring a project to fruition. And gregarious, I am likely to be kind to a person who thrives on meeting new people and interacting with them. This is an asset in many situations, especially when others may be too shy to make the first move or start a conversation. It's important to remember, however, that being excessively sociable when there's work to be done can breed resentment in others. And persuasive, you may have a natural way of winning people over to your opinion. This can be very helpful to getting consensus and moving ahead toward a common goal. Just be careful not to overuse this trait and cause others to feel manipulated or duped. Impulsive. Many people may appreciate your spontaneity and willingness to fly by the seat of your pants because it creates an opening for the improbable when the odds are against you. You know when you're acted too quickly and rashly, though because others will disassociate from you. Emotional, you may generally feel things more accurately, more acutely than a lot of people and be willing to talk openly about things, which can help others do the same. When overused, however, emotional candor can make others feel uncomfortable or even upset because they may feel that their boundaries have been violated. And let me give you a story about that. Growing up in my family, they always hid the problems going on. It was always the perfect family. Everything was great. And yet, behind closed doors, there was a lot of problems. As a child growing up, every time I tried to exert my independence or make a decision for myself or try to do something for myself, I got hit for it. Why? Because it was a matter of control. And my way of dealing with what was going on was to be very emotional about it. I cannot have a relationship with my family because it hurts me the way they treat me, that they do not accept me for who I am and do not want to listen to what I'm saying. They would rather tell me that I only belong on Social Security, that I'm helpless, that I'm worthless. I have a sister that's a teacher in special education, and yet because as a child she was always being told, you got to take care of them because they will, when we're gone, because they cannot take care of themselves. She resents it. She feels guilty about it. And her only way to deal with the situation is to automatically, when you're talking to her, you're screaming. She's always looking for a reason to start an argument with me. And it all falls back on what she was told as a child. And because she believes into it, she falls into it. She's not broken away from that and decided that she was going to be who she should be. She took a job that she didn't want instead of doing what she really enjoyed doing. She's not a people person, and yet all the jobs that she's done, she's been or had to be in a position where she deals with people every day, all the time. She once quit her job, and I got out of her what she wanted to do. And she told me that what she had initially wanted to do, and knowing that she was always good in math, was to go into getting her master's in business and working with a company where she would travel around, keep the books for a company, and then sit down and tell them what she did and how she did it, and what the bottom line is. Now, that kind of job suited her personality. But instead of doing what was right for her, she let other people tell her what to do. And she's a very miserable and very unhappy person because she has chosen that road. Now, my S behavior pattern is very low. And so those terms are disconnected, fidgety, impetuous, restless, change-oriented, and spontaneous. Now, someone who is disconnected is feeling disconnected could be in the impetuous for seeking great accomplishments or impressive results. Too much of the elegant element, though, can lead others to see you as merely negative. Fidgety. Multitasking goes hand in hand with a fidgety nature. The trait can come in handy when balancing many different projects. The downside is that such a predisposition can cause trouble when focusing on one issue at a time. Impetuous. This means that you often decide quickly on a course of action in a work setting, such as decisiveness is welcome when confronting tough issues. However, it can backfire on you and make a decision too quickly or before you have the information you need. Restless, looking for new challenges and searching for harsh concepts and positive aspects of restlessness. The quest for new horizons can benefit an entire team by keeping projects exciting, st- still in the extreme form, a restless nature can head you to feelings of unhappiness and bitterness. Change-oriented, according to pitfalls or stagnation, necessitates employing this skill, which keeps you always on the lookout for novel ideas and innovative solutions. And take care that you do not become so change-oriented that you dismiss a positive aspects of tradition. Now, fault finding. When you uncover errors or identify flaws that others only have missed, you are using this trait to its fullest, most positive potential. The flip side is that you run the risk of becoming nitpicky or cynical, which can keep others from sharing ideas and work with you. And spontaneous, you may find that your best ideas come in a burst of inspiration and activity in this way. You can keep things vibrant and fresh while still creating great solutions to vexing problems. However, when you have to work within a predictable routine or set a system, you may find these limitations frustrating. Now, why it's important to understand why my S being low works for me is that, in essence, because of the disability I have, which is cerebral palsy, my attention span is very short. And what happens is when I lose my attention span, then my mind starts to wander, and I go off in different directions, and I become very fidgety. So in a way, that the fact that this shows up in my profile only reemphasizes things and behavior patterns that I've had all my life. And understanding that also helps you understand how to write your mission statement or your strategic plan for yourself, because your behavioral style determines what types of jobs you're best suited for, even if you work as an individual or work within a company and in a group. And the strengths you have also help you to determine or fit into how to help a company set its goals, whether it's in your own personal job company that you have or when you are working with other people. Now, here's my C dimension is that I'm rebellious, I'm defiant, I'm obstinate, I'm tactless, and I'm sarcastic. And rebellious, to dismiss conventional thinking, may often appeal to you, but ignoring traditional barriers may cultivate fresh ideas and breakthrough approaches. But problems can arise if your rebellion becomes a knee-jerk reaction in every situation. Defiant, an aura of fierce independence may often surround you. This refusal to yield to peer pressure can reap great benefits when you are able to provide much-needed constructive criticism. However, the care that your principled stance don't meld into outright insubordination. And obstinate, this means that backing down or quietly acquiescing may be difficult for you. Such determination comes in handy when important goals are in danger of being wiped out. It is not so positive, though, if your stubborn attitude gets in the way of genuine improvement. Tactless, you may often speak in clear-cut language that bypasses social niceties, which means that there is never confusion about where you stand or what you think. This is a benefit when the work environment requires straightforward communication. Of course, this has the disadvantages of offending others and alienating yourself. Sarcastic. The use of humor to diffuse tense situation is probably a well-known tactic to you, and it can break the ice at awkward moments, but using the trait to excess can anger your colleagues, who may feel that you are mocking them. So it is important to understand how these different behavior patterns affect you. Now, let me just help you understand why this is important in me, because I think overcoming or changing around everything so that I could see myself more as an independent person away from my family and set goals for myself and have a life instead of being helpless and worthless, which is the terms that they were giving me, then that was a very important part of understanding why I do what I do and why I react in certain situations. This was how I overcame a lot of the issues that went on in the family, and that was a very important part of why I've been able to accomplish the things and accomplish the goals that I set for myself, which was to reach my maximum potential and learn to live without limits. And that is why I can help others to do the same. And I would like to invite you back to next week's session, where we will discuss how to increase your sales by 25% in 30 days.